So we move from Mick Jagger to...
finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights. And the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Well, all right,
as Pippa Middleton might not say. Good morning, William. Are we well?
Yeah, we're very well, thank you. Amazing. Extraordinary impersonation there of a girl whose voice you've never heard. Uncanny.
Didn't you think so? I sensed that there was a line that, worked through on that basis. Okay, there is a connection, as ever, with your good self, William, and our star co-presenter this morning, Professor Scott Davidson, Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln, because, of course, where did you actually work in New Zealand but the University of...
Canterbury.
And where did William get his first higher education treatment but the University of Kent at Canterbury, I believe?
That's right, yeah, where I used to... Well, I don't think any of us knew the name of the Vice-Chancellor. No disrespect intended. But I wasn't one of those who used to stage sit-ins and stuff, unless it was a place that sold beer. But I did used to present a radio show, actually, every morning.
You kept that very quiet, William. You were actually on Canterbury Student Radio.
UKC Radio, the University of Kent Canterbury Radio. Yep, I did the morning show every day. People used to tune in. I think you put your ear near the radiator. You would pick us up. A bit like your channel.
Yeah, thank you, William. I mean, who brought the Sunday Express and the Daily Mail hammering on your door over a comment you made in one of these sections? You know, people do listen.
No, they do. Yeah. They do. I mean, it takes one evil hack to listen.
Well, there we are. But still, let us motor on, because I'm not sure whether William Sitwell on Evil Hacks will be the best way to introduce you for the Lincoln School of Journalism Presents series we're planning on sort of setting together. You know, it'd be an interesting juxtaposition with Richard Keeble. Scott, any questions for William about life, the universe, gastronomic delights? Anything, really.
Oh, gastronomic delights.
By the way, are you celebrating Yorkshire Day, William?
Well, I am, actually.
Good.
Because I tell you, the big trend at the moment that I'm seeing, certainly in the very near vicinity to me, is beer cocktails. And I think they're about to take off in Yorkshire.
Beer cocktails?
Basically adding things like, you know, there's a very good ale called Porter's, and adding a little bit of a dash of vodka to that. And in fact, you know, a little bit of gin in your Tetleys. I think I can't think of any better way to celebrate
Yorkshire Day than a beer
than
cocktail.
Beer as a key ingredient in a cocktail.
I feel as if I must rush out and have one immediately. This being Yorkshire Day and having, I suppose, a gastronomic perspective, my son was born in East Yorkshire, and I often give him some wise sauce from Yorkshire, and here's one with a gastronomic connection. Hear all, eat all, say nout, eat all, sup all, pay nout, and if you ever do anything for your sen, do it for your sen.
I don't know if you followed the translation on that, William, but it was very profound, actually, and it's
I understood it word for word. I have a little bit of, you forget, I have a little bit of northern blood in me, and that my family were from Derbyshire, so...
Well, there you are, you see.
And also, well, on both sides, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, his family, apart from being slave traders, and the less said about that, the better... we're also, we lived up in Lancashire, and I think had a few cotton mills, and I am seeped in northern blood.
Well, I think that makes perfect sense, really, and Ed seeing in a whole new light, I can tell, in terms of just that sort of resonance. Slightly different now, we talk about satisfaction. I mean, William, in your capacity as editor of Waitrose Food, are you constantly looking at surveys in terms of seeing how people actually sort of, are they satisfied with what's being produced? Are they satisfied with the whole thing? We've just had Dr. Jack Lewis, a neuroscientist, talking about how fantastic service makes us feel a lot better and indeed it makes us feel loved. And Scott, you're saying today is the day where we get the information of the National Student Surveys that you'll be poring over and analysing from that point of view.
Oh, I'm very, very worried. My job depends on this.
You shouldn't sit that pacey. Relax, breathe. That's the important thing. William, from your own perspective, is there sort of a line where you sort of think, actually, sometimes people should know what's good for them, and we're giving them what's good for them, and they might not like it, but they'll enjoy it in the end.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things you mentioned there is surveys. I mean, I do commission surveys from time to time to find out what people are thinking, but normally in order to back up a prejudice that I have. And I think that actually very often in surveys you can extrapolate the results that you want to find. And I think therefore that one should often treat surveys with a bit of a pinch of salt. The other thing is, as someone who revels in the idea of getting PR for his magazine, you know, we use surveys as a way of finding news stories, and you find that all the time. I mean, you only have to look at the Splash, the lead story in the Sunday Telegraph about the Royals, simply based on a survey. You know, and in a way, you could say that was slightly sort of lazy journalism. If you haven't got a story, you know, commission a survey, publish the results. I think that if you're thinking about food trends and what people are going to like, and so on, do you need to research the market? I think sometimes you do. Retailers tend to invest heavily in qualitative and quantitative research to see whether the market's ready for various things. But I think there's nothing better than, you know, the instinct of people who can often get it right in order to lead, you know, thoughts. So, for example, I mean, you know, here I am talking about the idea of the next big thing being beer cocktails. And I think that, you know, I don't need to commission a survey to tell me that a little bit of amber pale ale with a shot of bourbon or rye dropped into it isn't going to be pretty good. Or, you know, I think that snake bite, very popular. People love black velvets, don't they? So, you know, do I need to commission a survey to tell me that people... You know, you'll want this. I think somebody's got to plunge into the market.
It could be a mini industry. Of course, you get a public relations agency to actually get a couple of experts in to talk about the survey, and then we can commentate on the survey and speculate on the speculation. But anyway, another little final point at this particular stage, and I'll put it to your good self, Professor Scott Davidson. Things have changed in the academic world. People used to turn around, and I still get it, if I had sort of a time when people turn around and say, oh, yes, well, the students have left now, so obviously it's just easy time. No, we still continue to work, do we not?
Well, it's a 50-week-a-year
exactly,
job now.
Exactly.
And, yeah, there's all sorts of things going on around the campus.
Exactly, in this little village, as you refer to it, as of Lincoln, William. Which, of course, will be graced by your presence, hopefully, in the very near future. And we're certainly looking at September, well, October time, I think. We're setting a date, which is good stuff. Yes, William Sitwell will be on campus in the proverbial house, which is wonderful. But the last two questions need to be bowled to you effortlessly, in the same way that England will obviously be managing that Old Trafford, by Ed Wellman. Ed.
Just put this into the back of your mind for next week, William. We need to talk about red jeans again.
Red jeans again?
Yeah, I have some information you might like, actually. There's been a survey done, but I'm going to just tease and hold that one off for next week. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
Well, of course, yeah, I'm intrigued. Is this, we're talking about red trousers?
Red trousers.
The website. Do I wear red or pink cords? No. Do I know people who do? Yes. What do I think? No comment. Let's discuss it next week.
Let's do that.
Is there a foodie element?
Yeah.
Very possibly. I once set fire to someone's pink trousers. We'll discuss that later. He was asleep. We poured brandy on his crotch.
These are the cliffhanger endings that, you know, other stations try to develop, but, you know, we're straight in there.
Well, in that case, it's almost taken as read, but I take it you will be going to connect with us again next week.
Oh, very possibly not.
Oh. Well, there we are. It's
maybe
that
he's going
uncertainty.
To throw some brandy at me or
somewhere,
something.
Somehow, sometime, William Sitwell will return. Critical for lads from Biker everywhere. Or perhaps Biker Groove, as somebody once said. Force of nature is a term that I would use to define our next correspondent, who, of course, is one of Staffordshire's finest. She's the founder of the Farmers on Film campaign, promoting the very best in British agriculture and so on. And she's bringing news of recent top-level Westminster ministerial support for Brand Britain, amongst others. Ed, to whom may we be referring?
You will be referring to the one and only Sarah Gayson.
Sarah Gayson, how are you, Sarah?
Hey, morning, Alex.
You see.
Oh, hello.
I'm very excited.
I know. Listen, As a University of Sunderland graduate who went off to work with the United Nations in Kosovo and waste reclamation and now actually has OT biscuits in Staffordshire, you have had this passion for Farmers on Film for such a long time. Share with us, Sarah, how this is actually developing and what, you know, Professor Scott Davidson might sort of, you know, appreciate is happening, and how maybe even some of the students at Lincoln might get involved to do a few sort of aspects as well for this fabulous work you're doing.
Ah, fantastic news, Alex. Absolutely fantastic news. On Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday this week, we've had the Nantwich International Cheese Awards, and it's the world's biggest cheese show, right? And we set the gauntlet down, and we've launched a competition to get all the cheesemakers to go out there and film their production, their cows, their passion, their pride, and their cheese. And we're going to have this film festival next year at the show. And do you know what? Do you know what the Minister for Food and Farming said from our British government?
What have they said?
An absolutely stunning gentleman called David Heath. He said, I'm actually going to read this out that I don't normally do. He said, the future of British farming is all about innovation. Farmers on Film is a brilliant concept which will connect shoppers with the people who made their food, as well as promoting the British food and the farming brand. And he goes on to say, I am looking forward to walking into a supermarket and scanning my shopping with a mobile phone to find out where their food comes from. Absolutely blown away, Alex. We've got top ministerial support for this concept. He saw the vision, absolutely loves it. He's seen what DEFRA's done. He's seen all the hard work they put into the Olympics to make sure our British Red Tractor food was on that plate. And he understands about the legacy of the Olympics. And we are so excited, you would not believe.
Now, one of the things, because, you know, we've been with this since the inception in many ways, Sarah, in this very studio where we were launching the whole thing, that digicodes are there, and I'll just sort of put it to Scott Davidson here. You actually would have your mobile, your smartphone, etc. You'd scan it over the digicode on the food product, etc., and you'd instantly get a sort of pickup in terms of who produced it, where it came from, and so on. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that's a marvellous idea, but I prefer to go to the farmers' markets, actually. Oh. And, you know, there's a lovely one in Uphill Lincoln and down in the High Street on Wednesdays. And one of the things that has amazed me, actually, since returning to the UK, is the emphasis on regional production and regional food and people's pride in it and pride in what they produce locally. And I think anything that enhances that is absolutely fantastic.
From your experience in New Zealand, were they as passionate about New Zealand lamb is the obvious cliched choice, but in terms of the agricultural service there, because, you know, what we get from Zara is very much passion for, obviously, Farmers on Film and so on.
Absolutely. The New Zealand experience was a very interesting one, and I detect lots of similarities between the farming communities in Lincolnshire and the farming communities in New Zealand, struggling with the same sorts of problems, but also responding similarly to levels of industrial production. So, for example, in Canterbury, where I used to live, where they produced the finest Canterbury lamb, they were irrigating fields to turn them into pastures so they could produce dairy, which, you know, got a higher price because of developing dairy markets in China and so on. So there was that tension, but again, there were those people who were very, very proud about what was produced locally.
I thought earlier in the production the phrase hipsters in nostalgia for an earlier era of cool was probably going to actually win the show award for the most interesting phrase, but the Nantwich International Cheese Awards and the notion of a Nantwich International Cheese Festival, Cheese Film Festival, is quite extraordinary, sir. I mean, what do people actually have to do to enter their film to the Nantwich International Cheese Film Festival?
Well, Alex, what are we going to do? It's in October, we're going to announce all the rules and regulations. Because, you know, with any competition, it has to be fair, open and transparent.
Of course, terms and conditions apply, quite rightly so.
Yeah. So we're going to sit down, we're going to work with people, get some really good classes there for people, absolutely exciting classes for people to enter. And it's going to be inspirational, because it's going to also be the first ever, I think, to be honest, if this has happened before, please tell me, but it's going to be the first ever festival held on phones as well, a film festival on phones, because everybody now has a smartphone, most people have one, and if we can get to show where that food comes from, on the packaging of the cheese, into the pockets of consumers, absolutely outstanding. So it's going to be quite a challenge, and what we're looking for, to be honest, is we can go around the country, we're looking for people that have got the complete and utter expertise in this social media with the mobile phones, with all the technology, with films and everything. And we're going to have little workshops everywhere around the country. And we're just going to bring people in. So we all it's such an innovative idea, we're going to ask for help from other people as well, and this will drive the innovation. What the gentleman said there about the farmers' markets, this is where the heart of Farmers on Film is with the farmers' markets. It's with people, the butchers, with people selling direct to consumer. And to be honest, this will come out of this competition because it's those people with the shortest supply lines that can instantly do this, absolutely do it. They can do it tomorrow because they know where their food is produced, who produces it and how it's produced, and it'll be absolutely extraordinary. I think the challenge that the Minister's set to the supermarkets is, again, those that have the handle on exactly where their food comes from, that passion, the pride, and the fairness with their farmers, will be able to nail this instantly, and it will challenge some of the others to actually really look at their supply line and to see how they can improve it both for farmers and the public, because we have, I'm calling it like unleashing the power of the farmer to promote his or her product. Because the research in America showed is once you put the farmer in front of the camera, who is true, honest, hardworking, very lovely people, people engage with that, and then the profits of the company start to go up because people want to associate with their lifestyle and into their way of life. So that's what there's massive challenges with this concept, and in some companies it'll be really hard to challenge, but it'll ask some fundamental questions, and I think that's really healthy. And to be honest, I've had quite a few people already following me on Twitter that are from filming backgrounds, from social media backgrounds, and all these people we need to come and help us to drive this forward for individual farmers. So it's going to be inspirational.
And just remind us once again, what is your Twitter handle?
It is at, all one word, Farmers on Film. Absolutely inspired. But the other thing, there's actually another news that we can... Can I announce it now as well, please?
Go on.
I can't keep anything.
You burst. You know we can't have this. Go for it now.
This has a massive connection to Lincolnshire, to be honest. There's an organisation called the Market Trade Association who produces a market magazine every week, and it goes around the country to all these markets. It's based in Lincoln, right? We've partnered with them, and we're also going to be launching quite soon the first ever... Farmers on Film, the first ever Market Trade Association film competition. Yet again, we're going to do it through the mobile phone, but we've already got the leek butter market traders. They've all stood up and
well, if you've
the
got
nations.
The leek butter market traders, then yeah, I think we're talking serious Spielberg business here.
They've challenged the nation to get to be filmed their markets and the people inside all the markets in the UK, and we're going to do it the exactly same thing. And it will be launched, you know, in the next few weeks as well, because the people, hard-working people of Britain, have got a voice. They are so much... The characters are just brilliant. You can't help love, like, the grumpy ones, the lovely ones, the happy ones, the smiley ones.
We feel the same about our students at the University of Lincoln. Marvellous.
So, again, this is going to be the actual associations in Lincoln, and we're going to push this through the country. So, you know what, it's time now to get the faces of Britain on film onto these mobile phones. And if we engage with consumers, with customers, old, new, and indifferent, you know, we have such a powerful... we're going to have a powerful, fun time, to be honest.
There we are. And that's the way that movements operate, isn't it, Scott?
Fantastic. Absolutely.
Great stuff. Sarah, I'm going to ask Ed to put those last two questions to you. Over to you, Mr. Wellman.
Well, Sarah, can we look forward to connecting with you again on the Midweek Drive here on Siren?
Ah, definitely. I think this time I'm going to have to come down... because I will be coming down to see the market traders guys, and if you want me to promote and present and discuss with your students when they come back in September, I'm totally up for it.
And we need the biscuits, obviously, Sarah.
And the biscuits.
Very important.
Gosh. Well, I wish you a fine and dandy Thursday, my friend, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I want to speak to the gentleman. I'm told with names. It's just
that would be Professor Scott Davidson.
Professor Scott, because Sunderland inspired me, and the first book I ever got as a student was Our Common Future. In the first few paragraphs, it stated that the environmental and social movement was so disbanded to the lack of technology and being able to connect with people. And now, 22 years later, that little paragraph has been totally reversed on its head. We've been given a book from Australia. Somebody sent me called, it's all about micro-domination, about using Twitter and the social media to build a brand. And this, if we can get this out into the farmyards of Britain, it will absolutely inspire farmers to create their own brand and their own personality on Twitter. It's starting to happen, but this book, and through connection with other people across the globe that are free and willing to inspire other people with their ideas, absolutely such a powerful concept, and we have the ability to regenerate not only the British economy at the rural level, but also in Europe and also overseas.
You might almost say, Scott, that higher education actually has a part to play when it inspires somebody like Sarah to actually move down the line, really.
That's what we hope to do. And it's a very interesting point you make, Sarah, because what we're trying to do at the university here now is look at the way in which we can digitally connect our students so that there is no difference between the physical and the virtual spaces, and in fact no difference between the physical and the virtual campus. So, you know, it's got a major, major part to play in how we educate people in the future as well.
To be honest as well, there's your university, there's Staffordshire University, there's Derby University at Buxton, there's Bicton College down in Devon, there's Harper Adams University, there's the Australian MIT University, there's Kabul University. You've all absolutely inspired me to carry on, because all the students that have trusted me and going with me on this concept has turned this one idea that the government had to put British food on that plate at the Olympics into an absolutely inspirational, it's a life-changing way of communicating with the public now for farmers. And I honestly think once you start putting the value back into food, the jobs that will then come from this concept will start to happen, and people will get employed, growth will happen, and you will get this economy going again. So, you know what? The universities are the powerhouse of the future. Well, they are the future.
I think that sums up a perfect sort of end to the programme. There we are. Sarah Gayton will return. Take care. Speak very soon.
Thank you very much.